Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Brother Robert Johnson. This is episode 196. Well, in the news this week, there's some strange things going on with rulings and whatnot up in Michigan about the widow's sons. I hope it gets resolved soon. I think it's causing some great discord. Brothers, you have my support. I hope we can get everything situated. In other news, Masonic Radio Theater is working on a Western. Hopefully soon we will begin recording parts. The Masonic Roundtable, we had a discussion last week about progressive lines in Lodge. It was a great discussion. As far as the esoteric segments, we are moving in a direction where we will be having Frater O or Brother O on the show periodically to have discussions with us, and we're going to try that out. And we intended for it to be a regular thing every other week. However, we couldn't make it happen for this week. Our schedules just didn't align. So I do apologize for that, but we will move on and we will get that done. Hopefully, we will have Apathy on as soon as we can. He just had a baby with his awesome wife, so it's family time for that, and we definitely understand that. We wish him the best, and we'll have you on soon, hopefully. There is a Masonic TV show being funded through Indiegogo, which will be 33 episodes, 50 minutes each. If you haven't checked it out, just go to Indiegogo and type in Masonic TV show. It's being done by a brother from Oriental Lodge here in Chicago, who has made several other films before, some good accolades, and it looks like, you know, we're going to try and crowdfund this. The goal, I believe, is $150,000 to start and the total of $300,000 maybe. Either way, it looks pretty interesting. I would check it out. I did want to mention that lapel pins, tie bars, cufflinks, and money clips are all going out in the mail all week long, in addition to copies of the book Tales from the Craft by illustrious brother Stephen L. Harrison. We do have the books in print on sale for $18. We match Amazon's price, and we ship anywhere in the United States for that. And it's $25 for international shipping. So anywhere else in the world, check it out. We'll send you a Masonic Roundtable bookmark with it. It comes packaged very nicely. I do believe you will enjoy it. And in addition, I have some big news. Now, if you were like me and you follow the 1 Minute Mason blog, or you just really love Tales from the Craft by illustrious brother Stephen L. Harrison, or perhaps you've been to one of his presentations where he talks about something really interesting, Oak Island and the Masonic Connections. So, yes, there is a book, and it's a new book by brother Stephen L. Harrison. It's not exceptionally long. It's about 60 pages or so. It is going on sale, on a pre-sale, I should say, on Kindle. And the price is right. 99 cents, guys. Pre-order the book for 99 cents. It'll get electronically delivered to your Kindle or your wireless device with a Kindle app on it. It's going to be a fun read. Tons of information is in it. And you know it's going to be quality. Stephen L. Harrison is a wonderful writer. And you know he does our Masonic Minute on the show every other week, so definitely check that out. Show him some love, some support, and pre-order that book. We'll have a link to pre-order it on our show notes. This being our esoteric sort of week, and being that Frater O and I couldn't get our schedules to jive, we have a paper or two. The first is off a wild website that looks like something out of the 1990s, but I digress. There's some interesting points, ideas, and is generally somewhat entertaining. It's about the Book of Enoch, translated by Richard Lawrence. So, without further ado, here we go. The Book of Enoch, translated by Richard Lawrence in 1821 from scrolls found hidden in caves in Ethiopia in 1773. These scrolls were evidently hidden in the same historical period as the Dead Sea Scrolls. The Richard Lawrence translation should not be confused with The Secrets of Enoch, written in 1925 by some New Age sewage author, or a more recent fanatical tome fabricated by Elizabeth Clare Prophet, now deceased. Please be aware, the period of time talked about in the Book of Enoch transpired at least 1.8 million years ago. Genesis 6:6 occurred at least 1.8 million years ago. Most of the things you learned in school were theories and or purposeful untruths. Enoch means, quote-unquote, learned one. There were many Enochs over the eons. The Book of Enoch talks of 200 fallen angels who fell to earth, who were then stuck here while they tried to, quote-unquote, repair their conveyance. Orders from their, quote-unquote, leader were to not fraternize with the women of earth. Of course, the first thing all these, quote-unquote, angels did was to mate with every earth woman they could find. Today, after many civilizations and languages, they are called Satan and his minions, or Lucifer and his band of angels. In the Bible, Genesis 6:6, and the quote-unquote sons of God took the daughters of men for wives. The Book of Enoch was declared apocryphal, and like the Book of Seth and other ancient manuscripts, was denied entrance into the approved version of the original Bible by the Nicene Council of 325 AD. But what is an apocrypha? The etymology of the term shows that it is simply a quote-unquote secret book. An example, one that belonged to the catalog of temple libraries under the guardianship of hierophants and initiated priests, and was never meant for the common folk. Apocrypha comes from the verb crypto, to hide. For ages, the Enochian, or the Book of the Seer, was preserved in the city of letters and secret works, the ancient Kirjarth Sefer, later on called Debir. Some writers have tried to identify Enoch with Thoth of Memphis, the Greek Hermes, and even with the Latin Mercury. As individuals, all these are distinct from one another. Professionally, if one can use the word, now so limited in its sense, they belong one and all to the same category of sacred writers, the initiators and recorders of occult and ancient wisdom. Those in the Quran, see Surat 29, generically termed the Edris, or the learned, the initiated, bore in Egypt the name of Thoth, the inventor of arts, sciences, writing, or letters, of music and astronomy. Among the Jews, the Edris became Enoch, who, according to Bar Hebraeus, was the first inventor of writing, books, arts, and sciences, the first to reduce to a system the progress of the planets. In Greece, he was called Orpheus, and thus changed his name with every nation. The number 7 was attached to and connected with each of those primitive initiators, as well as the number 365 of the days in the year. Astronomically, it identifies the mission, character, and the sacred office of all those men, but certainly not their personalities. Enoch is the 7th patriarch. Orpheus is the possessor of the pharynx, the 7-stringed lyre, which is the 7-fold mystery of initiation. Thoth, with the 7-rayed solar discus on his head, travels in the solar boat, the 365 degrees, jumping out of every 4th leap year for one day. Finally, Thoth Lunus is the septenary god of the 7 days or the week. Esoterically and spiritually, Enochion means the seer of the open eye. The story about Enoch told by Josephus, namely that he had concealed under the pillars of Mercury or Seth his precious rolls or books, is the same as that told of Hermes, the father of wisdom, who concealed his books of wisdom under a pillar, and then, finding the 2 pillars of stone, found the science written thereon. Yet Josephus, notwithstanding his constant efforts to give Israel unmerited glorification by attributing the science or wisdom to the Jewish Enoch, shows the pillars as still existing during his time. He tells us that they were built by Seth, and so they may have been, only neither by the patriarch of that name, the fabled son of Adam, nor by the Egyptian god of wisdom, Teth, Set, Thoth, Tat, Sat, the later Satan, or Hermes, who are all one, but by the quote-unquote sons of the serpent god, or quote-unquote son of the dragon, the name under which the hierophants of Egypt and Babylon were known before the deluge, as were their forefathers, the Atlanteans. Quetzalcoatl, the great white reformer, thought there were 2 totems in conflict when he took his aerial tour of North America. These conflicting totems were called the Wind God and the Great Dragon. The Great Dragon easily turns into the Sons of the Dragon, and the Wind God easily transforms into the Eagle, clutching the arrows that flies on the wind. 2 tribes warring from eons ago. So there you go, some interesting, entertaining, and wild stuff to think about. But wait, that's not all. I have yet another one for you, and I'll get right to it after we talk about supporting the show. So, if you can, please try to support the show. What it has done for us in the past, of course, is we've had apps, and now those apps are free thanks to you guys. So, the other ways you can support the show is through shopping at onnit.com. Again, last couple weeks ago, I just ordered some Alpha Brain, some Shroom Tech, and some T-Force, and a new battle rope. So, I've been kind of getting back on the horse, getting into some physical fitness, doing my part for the summer, trying to lose a couple of the pounds that I gained over the winter break, right? So, if you're you're into that and a whole lot more, please check out onnit.com. Use the coupon code WCY at the checkout and you can get a 10% discount, and they send a little bit back to this show. Another couple ways you can help out is by visiting freemasonryart.com and using the promo code WCY as well. There you will find several amazing pieces of art and the highest level of craftsmanship by Brother Juan Sepulveda of the Winding Stairs podcast. He is a fine artist and a wonderful craftsman, and he's assembled some of his greatest pieces to be sold on his website. And if you pick those things up, you're not going to be disappointed, but especially you're going to get a good price also, because he's going to give you 10% off by using that coupon code, and it comes right back to the show as well. And last but not least, we do have the freemasontees.com with some all original Masonic designed t-shirts. These also will benefit the show if you use the coupon code WCY at the checkout. 10% off for you and 10% back to the show. So again, our thanks to Onnit, FreemasonryArt.com, and Freemason Tees for their generosity. In addition, we do have button pins for $5. They're old campaign style. They measure about a half inch across, and they are quite nice. For $5, I'll send you one of those and a little thank you card. And if you wear it around, make sure you tag yourself in photographs and all kinds of good stuff like that, so people know what you're listening to and where you heard about it. So check it out. We do have the direct PayPal donations, so you can donate any amount you choose, whether it's $1 or $2, whatever you would like. And that also goes right into the production of this show and keeps all of the episodes previously released available forever. And, of course, one of the newest ways to support the show is by picking up either our lapel pin, tie bars, money clip, or our cufflinks. And those you can get right on WCYpodcast.com and just click the limited edition shop at the top of the page. And again, I do thank you in advance for your continued support. Thank you. All right, next is another wild speculative article. It is a bit presumptuous, but again, provides food for thought. A good friend and brother from another podcast once told me he likes the esoteric segments because he takes what he wants and leaves the rest, like a salad bar of ideas. So I hope you do the same. Here is a bit from CSWnet.com, and all it says at the top is apology, and it talks about pyramids, Samson, the pillars, which is an area that I'm trying to focus on here, the pillars and kind of their relationships to esoteric truths of old. So these things are slightly mentioned, and I'll just get right into it. And admittedly, these kind of jump in without any kind of leeway. I don't want to say they're poorly written. They're well written and they're well cited, but they do just jump right in head first. So here we go. Samson. Think son of Sam, i.e. Samuel's son, had a riddle and a secret. Notice how in both cases it was very insistent and persistent. Female who extracted them, the pyramids and the Sphinx, were probably already built at that time, but aren't spoken of by name in the Bible. The quote-unquote New Jerusalem, Revelations 21:16, quote, is four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and height of it are equal. End quote. Many think cube, but it could be a pyramid as well, with all those lively stones pointing toward the heavens, and it isn't clear if the perimeter of the city is 12K or 48K. After the children of Israel became slaves in Egypt, we are told that they built for the Pharaoh two treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. No mention of pyramids. The pyramid is referred to as the quote-unquote Pillar of Enoch by those who apparently believe that this seventh line of Adam, or first son of Cain, or that first city which he built, Genesis 4:17, was responsible for their design and architecture. Check out Pillar of Enoch on your favorite search engine if you want to know more. Egypt is referred to as the land of Ham, Psalms 105:23, but there is nothing in the Bible about Enoch going to or being in Egypt. The only reason I give it some credence is because we know nothing about the 16 centuries prior to Noah's flood, the second flood, actually considering Genesis 1:2 and 2 Peter 3:6. And when we compare that initial time span with the tremendous advances made in the most recent 5 centuries, there's food for thought. Could the people in those 1,656 years before the flood have utilized a perhaps greater intelligence to go even beyond what we've accomplished today? Have we considered what led to the flood, spoken of in Genesis 1:2, to cause the earth to become, quote-unquote, without form and void, Jeremiah 4:23, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. End quote. God didn't create it that way, Isaiah 45:18, but he doesn't tell us what happened to cause the earth to become flooded in Genesis 1:2. Maybe he sent the water to put out a horrific fire, and or maybe the first flood was what killed the dinosaurs, rather than an ice age event so often mentioned. Quote, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. 2 Peter 3:6. From the context, and if perished means everybody drowned except eight and the animals, it seems that Peter wasn't speaking of Noah's flood. When Genesis 1:28 used the word quote-unquote replenish, it gives us reason to consider how a pre-Adamic age may have included dinosaurs and Neanderthals, or Neanderthals, same word as used in Genesis 9:1 after Noah's flood. Because of the pyramids and the mummies, we know those Egyptians believed in the afterlife, but not about being changed or receiving new bodies. 1 Corinthians 15:52. It was apparent from Genesis 5:24 that Enoch was quote-unquote special, but we didn't learn about his being a preacher until the book of Jude, verse 14, and of course it hadn't been revealed back then about how we are quote-unquote spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. So the Egyptians focused on preserving the body by mummification. The emphasis shifted to the soul after Moses brought that first word from God, and even today in the 21st century there are many who haven't read John 4:24 or heard about God being a spirit and how we are created in his image. We are just a spirit and have a soul and live in this body just temporarily, about 70 according to the 90th Psalm. We're not just quote-unquote body and soul as they figured in the pre-Jesus era. Here's a short excerpt from the internet about a connection between Enoch and the Great Pyramid of Giza, or Giza, in Egypt. Careful though, because there's some Baha'i, Masonic, and other stuff mixed in. Quote, the ancient Egyptians called it the Pillar of Enoch. Enoch's fingerprints are all over it. Did you ever wonder why Enoch lived 365 years? The same number of days in our solar year? More precisely, if you go to the apocryphal book of Enoch, he lived 365 years, 88 days, 9 hours, or 365.242 years. You see, God had planned it that way. He made Enoch live that exact length of our solar year, and then he took him. But where? Normally, you could express someone's life from birth to death with a straight line, but with Enoch, you can't. His line would be a circle, and if you take 365.242 years and reduce them to his sacred inches, you get the Enoch circle. This same circle can be measured in the antechamber within the King's Chamber complex. It is a quote-unquote map room that gives you the key to interpreting the whole message in the pyramid. 1 inch equals 1 year, as in Enoch's life. End of the excerpt. The word pyramid is not found in the Bible. However, Isaiah 19:19 says, quote, in that day shall there be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord. And it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. End quote. Notice there is a reference to an altar and a pillar, and that will be in Egypt. The word it conveys the idea that the altar and the pillar are not two different objects, but one and the same. The location of this altar and pillar is couched in terms which seem to be contradictory. It will be at the border of Egypt. At the same time, it will be in the middle of Egypt. The seeming contradiction, in fact, helps to identify this quote-unquote pillar as the remarkable Great Pyramid at Giza. The Bible contains many references to astronomy, the heavenly host, so we shouldn't be afraid of it, but draw the line at astrology and tarot cards and crystal balls. If Enoch, seventh from Adam, was actually led of the Lord in the design of the pyramids, we could think of them as unique houses built upon the sand, Matthew 7:26, as a quote-unquote a precept for our learning. Romans 15:4. For more about Enoch, the seventh from Adam, check out the Generations page. Remember, there were two Enochs and two Lamechs included in those early generations, and we know for sure there's a wonderful mystery concerning. Next is the riddle of the Sphinx, what goes in the morning on 4 legs and at noon on 2 legs and in the evening on 3. If you didn't get it right, the Sphinx was a she with the body of a lion and the head of a woman. She got to eat you, so they say. The answer? Man, who crawls on all fours as a baby and then learns to stand on 2 feet, and in his golden years he walks with a cane. I'm thinking the Greeks came up with this myth only after they had heard enough scripture to become acquainted with its allegory. Is it possible that the preacher Enoch, 7th from Adam, Jude 14, passed on some vital information to the Egyptians, giving them the inspiration for the Sphinx with the body of a lion and the head of a woman? Perhaps. The riddle of Samson. It's curious because it's in the Jeopardy form of answering with the question. Samson said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. Judges 14:14, and they could not in 3 days expound on the riddle. But they finally got the answer when they harassed his wife, like we finally get the answers when we receive the Holy Spirit. In the Spirit he speaks mysteries. 1 Corinthians 14:2. They answered with the question, what is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? The honey, Scripture, had come from the carcass of the lion, the story of the death of the resurrection. Samson paid them off with garments, like we receive robes of righteousness. The natural man in me doubts I'd have paid off such a flimsy answer. Would you have? Samson's pulling down the pillars of Dagon's temple are a precept of quote-unquote pulling down the strongholds of 2 Corinthians 11:4. Samson's having the strength in the hair of his head is a preview of the time when scripture would say Jesus is the quote-unquote head of the church. Samson's carrying away of the gates of Gaza are the precept of the gates of hell shall not prevail, of Matthew 16:18. The third day and seventh day conflict is a precept to the principle of how 1,000 years are as one day, and how the third day is measured from Calvary, and the seventh day is measured from Adam, also seen in David's choices of 2 Samuel 24:13 and 1 Chronicles 21:12. The account of tying the tails of 300 foxes is certainly one of the craziest stories in Scripture, and a small wonder that people disdain and ridicule this kind of truth, but I see it as an illustrative action with a spiritual meaning or allegory of how this truth is best understood when we tie the Old Testament tales together with the New Testament tales. Our language has been confounded, and there is a parallel to the dispatching of the 70 sent out in pairs by Jesus. Samson having his eyes put out is a type of true Israel led of God, who was blinded to the truth of how the man would be one body. 1 Corinthians 12:13. So that one was really all over the place, and he really took a lot of scriptures from Old and New Testament and kind of extracted information and kind of twisted it around. A very interesting piece nonetheless. I hope you took pieces of that and do what you want with them. Perhaps it will help you formulate a paper or stimulate an argument within your mind, and you might be able to write something about this. In any case, we'll move on to this week's famous Freemason, Arthur Edward Waite, A.E. Waite. A very common name, most people know him as a prolific Masonic author and purveyor of the tarot deck. He was born on October 2nd, 1857, and he passed away May 19th, 1943. He was an English Christian mystic and writer on Masonic and occult subjects, best remembered for the design of the Rider-Waite-Smith tarot deck, published in 1910. A.E. Waite wrote a new encyclopedia of Freemasonry, Their Rites, Literature, and History in 1921, and Emblematic Freemasonry in 1925. A large collection of his writings and letters are in the Iowa Grand Lodge Library, Cedar Rapids, USA. His name is often linked with Wicca, Wynne Westcott, Aleister Crowley, MacGregor Mathers, and Theodore Roos. Waite was received into the Golden Dawn in January 1891, although his attendance and involvement was sporadic. Entering the Societas Rosicruciana in Anglia, SRIA, in April of 1902, Waite precipitated a schism in the Golden Dawn the following year. He purged magic from the rituals, replacing it with mysticism. This society, the independent and rectified rite of the Golden Dawn, was soon torn by further feuds and was dissolved by Waite in 1914 to be replaced by the Fellowship of the Rosy Cross in 1915. By this time, there were some half-dozen offshoots of the original Golden Dawn, Waite's version being a minor note in the main theme continued by the Order of the Stella Matutina of Non-Mason. Dr. R.W. Falcon, a prolific writer on Rosicrucian history, his The Brotherhood of the Rosy Cross, 1924, is particularly noteworthy. Brother A.E. Waite was initiated September 1901, raised February 10th, 1902, St. Marylebone Lodge, number 1305 in London. That's it for this week, guys. Please find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, at WhenceCameU. Check us out on Google Plus at the email address wcypodcast@gmail.com. Email me at that address if you'd like, or you can email me at admin@wcypodcast.com. Please don't forget about the Midnight Freemasons. We just had a phenomenal post go up. If you like esoteric stuff, please check it out. Brother James E. Fry just finished with part 6 of the Occult Lodge series. He really expounds on the Ordo Templi Orientis, the OTO that is, and also check out the Masonic Roundtable, going live every Tuesday night at 10, 9 central. Steve Harrison has books, Tales from the Craft, and The Pre-Order, The Oak Island and the Masonic Connections book. That's 99 cents on the Kindle store, and you can pre-order it right now. Links will be in the show notes. That's it, guys. Stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.